Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And remember the number once again, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And also remember, we not only do a broadcast, we do a podcast, the Hank Unplugged podcast. And we've been getting a lot of five-star ratings, including this one. Hank Hanegraaff has kept his promise to bring us the most informative, the most interesting, and the most inspirational people on the planet. Thank you so much, Hank. I'm grateful for these unplugged podcasts. This was a comment on the theology of illness by Dr. Jean-Claude Larcher. Interesting podcast. You can hear it on iTunes, at equip.org, or wherever you consume your favorite podcasts. I thought I'd mention that just yesterday, Ray Carruth was released from prison. If you don't know who he is, he was a first-round wide receiver pick in 1997 and played for the Carolina Panthers, and at that time was charged with murder of Sharika Adams, and Sharika was 7.5 or 8 months pregnant at the time. Her child survived. She died. And the son that survived is named Chancellor. He has brain damage and cerebral palsy as a result of the murder of his mother. Well, the reason I'm bringing this up is, as I was reading reports on the story with respect to Ray Carruth, I read about the fact that he converted to Islam in prison. And I thought it might be appropriate to mention that Islam is the fastest growing religion in U.S. prisons. So you think about this. Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. It is also the fastest growing religion within the prison system. 80% of prisoners, 80% who find faith while in prison, they don't convert to Christianity, they convert to Islam. And the United States prison population is now 9% Muslim. And that is compared to 1% for the general population. And you wonder why people would convert to Islam as opposed to converting to Christ. You know, Jesus gave the world two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The Quranic God violates both with reckless abandon. The first great commandment is violated through the remaking of the one eternal, holy, majestic God revealed in three centers of consciousness into a being that not only misapprehends basic grammatical constructs, but cannot so much as apprehend irrefutable historical realities. And in that vein, Allah grossly imagines that with respect to the Son of God, with respect to Jesus Christ, the word begotten presupposes sexual reproduction. rather than special relationship, and he thoroughly misapprehends the Trinity, supposing that Mary is God, that the Holy Spirit, the angel Gabriel. Moreover, against the weight of history, against the weight of evidence, Allah denies the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And his violation of the second great commandment is even more blatant. Believe it or not, Allah sanctions murder, adultery, stealing, false testimony, coveting. So you think about the biblical admonition, the commandment, you shall not murder. What does the law say? He says, you shall murder. So in stark contrast to the God of the Bible, the Quranic Allah commands, not suggests, but commands murder. And that in grotesque and horrifying fashion. Islamic terrorist attacks are directly mandated by Allah. He spoke to Muslim devotees and he said, when you meet the unbelievers in fight, smite at their necks. And of course, no one took the command of Allah more literally than did Muhammad, who in 627 beheaded 600 plus Jews in Medina. And murder is not only permitted by Allah, but it is prescribed by Allah. Fighting is prescribed upon you, and ye dislike it, but it is possible that ye dislike a thing which is good for you. If you have a Quran, you can read that in Quran 2. So far from a vice, murder is rendered in the Quranic worldview a virtue. And nor can the command of Allah be misunderstood as mere self-defense. In context, the murderous commands of Allah were given in order to motivate Muslims in their task of raiding Meccan caravans. How about adultery? The Bible says, you shall not commit adultery. According to the Quran, you shall commit adultery. From the very beginning, Allah has provided all Muslims with the divine sanction of having adulterous sex with captured females, those whom your right hands possess, according to Quran 4. And in Khaybar, Muhammad had one of his men torture and kill a Jew. And then shortly thereafter, engaged in sex with his widow. And the rest of the female captives, well, he distributed them among his Muslim warriors. As Allah makes clear, Muslims are permitted to steal as well, but only from unbelievers. And then not only to steal, but to relish the process. Enjoy what you took, for it's lawful and good. And Allah's directives are not merely relegated to petty theft, they entail grand theft as well. After casting terror into the hearts of the people of the book, he advises Muslims to steal their houses and to steal their goods. And in the end, he promises that theft by the sword will yield a caliphate encompassing the entire earth. So when I start to give you statistics about what's going on in the prison population, remember, Islam has always advanced by sword. and it is now advancing in all kinds of ways through migration without assimilation, and now within the prison population. Well, we can curse the darkness, or we can build a lighthouse. In the midst of the gathering storm, I've written about all of this and more in my book, Muslim. Well, you need to know about the world's fastest growing religion. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. It is available for those who support the ministry. And if you join CRI's support team, be pleased to personalize a copy to you, a family member, or a friend. I am deeply grateful for all of those that are standing with us prayerfully and financially in a very difficult time in the history of our country. Do remember the number to dial to get your questions answered live, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be right back.
Truth be told, Mark Twain was always a complicated figure. Paradoxical worldviews abound in his work. Wrestling with God, church, and religion from the beginning of his career to its end, the writings of Mark Twain vividly display an all-too-human temptation to despair pitted against the vital human impulse to hope. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, Professor Mary Beth Baggett probes this quintessential American writer in her article, Mark Twain's Tightrope Walk, Caught Between Despair and Hope. Subscribe to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Bring up religion or politics in a conversation, and often people stop being reasonable and demonize those who disagree with them. Fortunately, there are certain skills you can develop that will lead to civil discussions. Other topics include the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, wrestling with God, church, and religion in the writings of Mark Twain, HBO's Westworld and the ethics of artificial intelligence, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
Thank you.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thanks very much, Randy. And I'm going to go to the quote of the day and then right to your calls. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. I was talking in the first segment about Ray Carruth, who was released from prison on Monday. His son, Chancellor, his girlfriend was pregnant at the time that she was murdered, has survived. He does have brain damage and cerebral palsy. He's being raised by Sharika's mother, his grandmother, Sandra Adams. And I wrote a quote by her in the newspaper that I thought was absolutely stunning. I thought, I'm going to make that the quote of the day. She said this, "If I'm sitting around in unforgiveness," and she's talking about whether or not she should forgive someone like Ray, "if I'm sitting around in unforgiveness, it's like me drinking poison and hoping he or the murderer is going to die." Again, the quote of the day by Sandra Adams. Let's go to the phone lines. First up is Kevin in Willows Point, Texas, listening on the web. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Hank. Hey, it's good listening to you. I got a question. What compelled you to go over, to cross over to the Orthodox faith? What was the most
Well, a lot of reasons. On the one hand, probably shouldn't say this, but I will. I was increasingly fed up with all of the nonsense that was arising within the evangelical world. But that isn't the only reason. In one word, I would say the reason is theosis or deification. And I'm writing about that in a book called Truth Matters, Life Matters More. I love what Vladimir Lossky said in this regard. It's one of my favorite quotes. He said, "Following the fall of humanity, the history of the human race is a history of shipwreck awaiting rescue. But the port of salvation is not the goal. The goal is for the shipwreck to continue on a journey whose sole goal is union with God." And I think that that describes the importance of being part of a spiritual gymnasium. I can hope that I'm going to get strong physically. But if I buy a nice t-shirt and sweatpants and I never get into the gym, I'm not going to grow strong physically. And the same thing is true spiritually. And I believe that it is within the spiritual gymnasium, within the church, that you receive the graces whereby we can become by grace what God is by nature. Obviously, we never become what God is by nature, but we receive transformational graces within the spiritual gymnasium. And I believe one of them is the Eucharist, properly administered. I believe that you are receiving uncreated energy, for only God is uncreated.
Okay, yeah, I've been going to a Bible-believing church since 93. And I really feel that there's something more. And I saw a video of an ex-Calvary pastor, and he said, "Why would I want to be a break-off of a break-off, the break-off of a break-off?" He says, "I want the original or something close to it." Is that the proper thinking, Hank?
Well, I don't know how to parse that exactly, but let me say this. One thing I've found about Orthodoxy, and God has his people everywhere, so I should make that clear. But one thing I found out about Orthodoxy is that it's not innovative. It is perpetuating the faith once for all delivered to the saints. In other words, if you look at how the early church did church, you will find a close facsimile of what is going on in the Orthodox Church today. So I think that's one of the great things, is they're not trying to innovate, they're perpetuating. If you look at the Roman Catholic Church or the Western Church, there's constant innovation. Within the Roman Catholic Church, for example, all of a sudden you have the Pope speaking ex cathedra or from the chair, and suddenly you have a new dogma. You have the dogma of purgatory or limbo. And even that is now being changed to some degree. I'm referring here to the doctrine of limbo. So perceptions are changing. You don't find that within Orthodoxy. I find the only difference that I experience in Orthodox churches is the pastries that they serve in the fellowship halls.
Okay. Okay. Well, I've listened to you. You were a big part of my Christian growth early in my when I gave my life over to Christ, and I was a service tech, and I would drive around and listen to you on the radio all the time. So you're a big part of me growing as a Christian. So I just want to thank you, Hank, and thank you for your question, for your answer.
You're welcome, Kevin. Thank you so much for calling in. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Eric in Denver, Colorado, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Eric.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you. So I have a quick question here. So I have a grandfather who is adamantly Jewish and adamantly opposed to the concept of the Trinity. And so I'm wondering, in my approach to sharing the gospel with my grandfather, if you could, I guess, shed some light on some biblical verses or biblical principles that could help me in what I consider one of my big life goals.
Yeah. Well, a couple of things I would say. First of all, virtually every single theological heresy begins with the misconception of the nature of God. And this is the problem with the idea of a Unitarian God as opposed to a Trinitarian God. And you find the Trinitarian God communicated throughout the Bible. So the Bible is communicating that there's only one God. So we can say with Jews, the Hebrew Shema, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one." However, as you read through the pages of the Bible, you see a pre-incarnate Christ, the angel of Yahweh. You see David saying, "Do not take your Holy Spirit from me." You see Yahweh the Father. And the same thing is true in the pages of the New Testament. What you see as a whole is one God revealed in three subjects, and those subjects are eternally distinct. Now, when you think about this critically and clearly, that is not a negative, that is a positive. Meaning that if God were only Unitarian, prior to the creation of the universe, you would have a morally defective God. You would have a God who could not exercise the attribute of love because there would be no one to love. And yet from all eternity, the Bible communicates the Father loving the Son loving the Father. The Holy Spirit is a witness to that love. The Son loving the Spirit, the Father being a witness to that love. You have an ongoing mutual love relationship. And the great thing about the Christian faith is we are now invited into that relationship such that we, though we never become part of the Trinity, we come into intimate fellowship with the Trinity. And that ultimately is the goal of the Christian life. It is to experience union with God. And that's kind of what I was talking about earlier, the whole idea of experiencing union with God. But look, if you're witnessing, whether it's to an Orthodox Jew or a Reformed Jew or a conservative Jew, there are different branches of Judaism. You always need the same basic foundational structure, and that is you need to be familiar with the essentials of the historic Christian faith and be able to defend those essentials. And with respect to Judaism, it is critical to be able to demonstrate that Jesus Christ is, in fact, God. He demonstrated that he was God through the immutable fact of his resurrection. You think of Simon Greenleaf, one of the great prodigious intellects when it came to jurisprudence. He, in a tremendous tome, points out that it is inconceivable that the disciples would have continued to believe in Jesus Christ if, in fact, Jesus Christ had not risen from the dead, and if, in fact, they had not known that as certainly as they knew any other fact. So you have to be familiar with the essentials and be able to communicate them with power and passion. And then, of course, prayer is firing the winning shots. So remember to pray as you're involved in the process of always being ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but we'll be back here tomorrow. Give me a call tomorrow, 888-ASK-HANK, with your question, numerically 888-275-4265. And so long for now.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Claiming to have been set free from the shackles of religion, theologians, pastors, and seminary graduates who once confessed Christianity are leaving the faith to lead groups now critiquing all things Christian. But you can learn how to respond. Other topics include the historical uniqueness of Jesus Christ among the founders of the world's major religions, understanding Nicene Trinitarianism, how to have a civil discussion about abortion, wrestling with God, church, and religion in the writings of Mark Twain, a practical guide to teaching students apologetics, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI. Or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org.